Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And this show is a continuation of our rotation with members of the Hastings Ministerial Association. We're so happy to have in studio with us today Pastor Joel Rova Hegener. He is at Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings. And I got to tell you, there's always great things going on there. How have you been?
I've been good, busy, but good.
Well, I know you're busy in the off hours, if you get a chance to, because you have a little superstar son named Johan that I so enjoy on the soccer field. It's great to see him out there.
Well, and likewise with your son, Jack.
Oh, thank you.
It's fun to see each other in the stands and to watch them on the field.
You can learn a lot from sports, can't you?
What are
some of the things that you think our sons are learning?
Well, hopefully learning to try their hardest, to be good teammates, you know, pass the ball as well as shoot, to encourage one another, lift one another up, care for one another. You know, it's kind of fun to sometimes see your son offer a hand to a opposing player to help them up off of the grass.
Apparently, there's a lot of talking smack that goes on.
Well, I'm sure there is.
Which I didn't know about. Apparently, that goes on. Anyway, well, we're not going to talk smack today. We are going to talk about all the great things going on at Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church. And as I've told you before, I really admire the emphasis you put on just some of the things you talked about being good citizens, being good humans in the community, and really helping when there is a need. You guys are always stepping up. Is that a mission of your church?
Yeah, we have a big emphasis on outreach and also an emphasis on feeding, whether that's gathering food for Hastings Family Services or every Wednesday night offering a chef-cooked meal.
Chef-cooked?
Yeah, we employ a chef on Wednesdays, Chef Johnny. The meal begins at 5:30 and goes until about 7. This is during the school year, not in the summer. And it's free will donation. If you're not able to give, you're still welcome to come and eat. And it's a 3-course meal, sometimes even prime rib.
Or Chef Johnny.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he preps it the day or two before and then has good help finishing the meal that night. And people come in and volunteer to serve it and set the tables and clean up afterwards. And it's part of our refresh evening every Wednesday from the middle of September through the end of May. We have a meal. And then we have church school offered for like 4-year-olds through 6th grade. We have church school both Wednesday and Sunday, so you choose which session you want to go to. So we can't call it Sunday school because there's Wednesday as well.
Oh, it's church school. Okay.
And then we have a refresh service that's at 7 o'clock every Wednesday, which is a band of some of our younger members and our confirmation ministry, which is called God and Life. Those students are ask to be there, but it's open for everybody. It's the main service for certain people every week. It's about a half an hour service with a message and fun music and prayers. And then God and Life, the confirmation continues after that with small group until 8. So we've got that every Wednesday. And one of the, besides, it's the feeding and the service are kind of the two hallmarks of Wednesday evenings. And then we have food with friends twice a month on Thursdays. That's still pickup meals right now. Prior to COVID, it wasn't eating in the dining room meal, and we're going to get back to that. But people just hadn't been comfortable to come in. We offered it, and they didn't show, so we've continued with making meals to go. And then we also are the main working with United Way. We're packing food for kids, the food that's sent home in backpacks every Friday. United Way helps gather the money for that to provide the food, but then we are now this year taking on the task of getting it all packed, either our members or bringing people into our church to get it packed.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You really are faith in action. That's something that has been going on, that meal program, for quite a while. And it was kind of piecemeal.
Yeah.
But you really have taken the reins and run with that. And it's just wonderful.
Yeah, we just, the need was there and we didn't want it to disappear.
It's an important ministry.
Oh, yeah, very important one. And so it's, and it's a way for our congregation then to put faith into action. If it's even simply filling a gallon Ziploc with the food for that week, and we kind of have a conveyor belt where you walk through and you put the stuff in the bag and you go back to the beginning of the table and can pack, you know, 200 bags within 40 minutes if you have enough people. So
it's impressive.
Yeah.
Any Lucy and Ethel things you want to tell us about?
Well,
do you want me to come and volunteer for what?
Yeah, well, it can sometimes get a little bit like that, especially when you get the confirmation students doing it and you realize, oh, we're repacking a lot of these because they're just throwing it in, trying to get as many done as possible.
Quality control.
Yeah.
You have to stay on top of. You know, talk about your confirmation program, because it's real meaty. I have to tell you, I've had the opportunity to go through that program with two of your youth over the years. And I, of course, had to duck out during the Martin Luther section, the Catholic girl that I am. But I was really honored to walk with two very special young women in my life that I've known forever. And the program, I certainly learned a lot. And I think that it's a real meaty, what are some
well,
other
yeah,
words?
Yeah, we try to make it where it's, keep adapting it so that it's relevant. Because if the kids can't understand that it's relevant,
it was relevant.
They aren't willing to learn. So we really try to.
But it's not just, you're not just checking a box.
No.
You are really getting into your faith and you're asking kids questions about their lives and how really faith and the Bible pertains to them. And it's very important, I think, to realize the Bible isn't antiquated. I mean,
it's
everything
alive.
You need to know is there.
Yeah, and it was kind of neat, this, you bring up confirmation, and just this Saturday and Sunday, we had two confirmation services, one Saturday night and one Sunday morning, and we confirmed 32 high school kids this week. And the question we left them with to ask again and again and again in their life is, how do I live out my faith today? You know, and I don't know how many are going to remember that, but you hope that at least a few do, and being able to ask that question of themselves so that when they're at school and they see a child sitting by themselves in lunch, or as they get older and they see what's happening in the world or in their neighborhood, to step up and be God's person at that time. You know, you hope and pray that that happens, that God can work through them.
What do you say about the kids of today? What are you seeing?
Well, I mean, kids are kids are kids, but I think they're very aware of what's happening in the world. I mean, they've got the world at their fingertips now. I mean, you know, the phone can be an addiction, of course, but I also am surprised by how many of them are actually reading news or keeping up with what's happening in the world.
I'm shocked also.
Yeah, I do that, but then all of a sudden I'm talking to a kid and they know that, you know, there's a hurricane moving through the Caribbean, or the women are protesting in Iran right now. And you go, really? You actually aren't only on Snapchat? So, you know, they're aware, just like when we were young, obviously caught up in what's happening in their lives. And with social media, that can be a plus and minus. So that can be a struggle to remember that everything you see on social media isn't necessarily real. Help them to discern. But, you know, I've been around a lot of high schoolers, and they are real people, and they care about one another, and they have real anxieties, and they have real hopes. And you just want to make God relevant to their lives. Like you said, the Bible isn't antiquated. The Word of God is living. So
do you use social media at Our Savior's to contact people, or how has that evolved over the years?
Well, what we've learned is you have to, especially the kids. You know, you have to try to find some way to communicate with them, and it's usually through texting because Snapchatting doesn't really work, although that's, you know, they snap one another all the time.
And, you know, I don't know what these things mean.
I don't either. And, you know, it's so funny. I said, well, did you email them? We don't email.
Or Facebook, apparently, yeah. For younger people is, Mom, nobody's on Facebook.
No, nobody's on Facebook. That's us older, in quotes, us older folks. So, yeah, you have to use social media, but actually, it's more texting. That's the best way to get them to respond because we aren't on the same social media platforms. And frankly, what I've discovered in the church is all of our technology doesn't make it easier to communicate. It makes it harder because some people want to be communicated by email. Others want Facebook. Others
too many choices
on WhatsApp. Others want the newsletter. Others want to be called. And it's almost impossible to please everyone. So it's people come up and go, I never heard. Like, well, you know, let us tell you the ways that we've tried to communicate.
So you obviously still have a Sunday bulletin, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have a newsletter that gets mailed out.
Okay.
So
that's nice.
Announcement sheet on Sunday morning, newsletter on mailed out about monthly. Then we have a weekly email blast, you know, where it's only relevant. We try to start with the top priority and move down. So if you only read one thing, it's hopefully the most important thing. We have a Facebook page. We have a website.
Oh my goodness.
Filled with everything. And then, of course, sometimes you have to pick up the phone and call. But that only works for people about 45 and older. Everybody younger is like, I'm not going to get that. I don't know who that is.
So. Yeah, times have changed. But you have to stay relevant yourself as a church and really change with the times. Yeah.
Yeah. Like mentioned Martin Luther. I mean, Martin Luther, part of the reason that he got out there was he used that brand new technology of the printing press. That had only been invented, movable type, a few decades
before.
Tell
me more.
Him. Yeah, so, you know, Gutenberg's press, I think, was created in the late 1400s. And Martin Luther was this monk who started writing, and he didn't even get it published on his own at first. People took what he had written and then started printing it because there was no copyright back then. It was a brand new technology, right? And so word started getting spread, and they started reading what this Catholic monk, because he was a Catholic monk, was writing. And then certain bishops started reading it going, well, I don't know if I like this. And then it blew into what's known as the Reformation.
Can I tell you, things like that still happen?
Oh, yeah.
Bishops still get involved. It's all good,
not just
it?
In the Catholic Church.
What is the hierarchy of your Lutheran church here in town? Because I know that there are different synods of Lutheran churches.
So I'll speak to ours, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So the polity is ground up. So even though we have people who are named bishop, they are not bishop for life. They are elected and they serve a 6-year term. So the power rests in the local congregation, and then you have a synod. Within our synod, it's, you know, we're part of the St. Paul Area Synod. So it's really a geographical synod for organization. And there is an elected bishop at the head of the synod.
Is he a pastor, or is it somebody else?
Bishop has to be an ordained pastor, and our bishop is a woman right now. Because there are a lot of Lutherans in Minnesota, Minnesota has, in the ELCA Lutherans, there are 6 synods. And then there is a national bishop that is elected, and you know there are term limits, that sort of thing. And once you are no longer a bishop, some people still get called bishop, but you go back to being a pastor. So that's different than the Catholic Church, where once you're ordained a bishop, you're a bishop for life.
Yes.
And then there are other Lutherans, and I can't speak intricately about them because I'm not part of their churches, but Missouri Synod Lutheran, Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, Lutheran Brethren, Association of Free Lutheran Churches, Lutheran Churches and Lutheran Congregations and Mission for Christ. I mean, kind of like there are 1,001 types of Baptists, same thing with the Lutherans.
So the synod itself means what? What is, when you said the Missouri Synod, the
Wisconsin Synod? Well, so the Missouri Synod and Wisconsin Synod use synod as a term for their nationwide church.
Okay.
And then I believe Missouri Synod has districts that are geographical. In the ELCA, my Lutheran church body, the synod is geographical, but it's also ecclesiastical, meaning it's church organization, yes, and whatnot. And then we use church-wide as the name for, you know, the larger churches that is just the church. It's split up into synods and then congregations. So there are three levels of organization.
And your church has how many services a week, please?
Okay, so right now we have four. Okay. We have 8, 9, and 10:30 on Sunday mornings.
Okay, and what are the differences between those?
So the difference is right now the 8 o'clock is quite small, and it's really kind of traditional, but it's designed to be shorter. And coming out of COVID, we kept that service so that people who wanted to be able to have space around them in the pew could come to that one. Then 9 o'clock is also traditional, even more traditional. As a Catholic, you'd come and probably recognize parts of the service. We'll often wear our robes, our albs and stoles at that service. It's led by the organ or piano. And then our 10:30 service is very non-traditional. It's led by the New Creation Band, a bunch of great musicians.
Oh, with wonderful musicians.
Guitars and bass and drums and keyboard. And the liturgy is it's still liturgy, but it's not responsive. It's all led by the pastors and very informal. We don't wear robes or all, you know, our albs or stoles. And then we've got the refresh service on Wednesdays at 7, which is led by another band, the Refresh Band, and, you know, music that you'd recognize from like KTIS or something. And then a different style of more of a devotional message, maybe 5 minutes. Both Pastor Lloyd and I will share, but also Amy Hansen, our Director of Children, Youth, and Family, and occasionally someone else. And just so all four of them are different. So if you come and you aren't quite taken by one, try another one.
I love that. And all are welcome, I heard.
And yes, all are welcome. And actually, we have a fifth service online. Every week we do an online service, and you find it on our website and or the Facebook page. And same sermon as Sunday morning, but music that comes in both with the organ and the bands. It's about a 25-minute service online. And we have people watching all over the country. A lot of our snowbirds, that's how they worship with us.
And stay connected. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's great.
It's awesome. Great to see you. Thank you. Pastor Joel Rova Hegener, he is a pastor at Our Savior's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hastings. And do visit them either online or visit them in person. There's always something great going on. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.